The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 1, Text Number 35, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 29th, 2009, in Suva, Fiji.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 1, Text Number 35. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Tat putra vapara vastam katta svadrachya saranjate sare katta svadrachya sten rachya sentare katta svadrachya sentare Utatya Bhagavan Sakshad Pramishtascha Brihaspati Tatputa Vapara Vashtam Kattasvat Rajasendare Utatya Bhagavan Sakshad Pramishtascha Brihaspati. Translation. Besides these four daughters, she also had another two sons. One of them was known as Utatya, and the other was the learned scholar Brihaspati.
Vandeham. Shri Guru, Shri Jata, Parakamala, Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupa, Sagrajata Sahagana Raghana Tanvitam Tam Sajiva Sadaita Savaduta Purijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishankan Vitamscha.
So, we are very, very fortunate to have this opportunity to connect with Krishna through the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam. Even though this material world sometimes appears to be very attractive, sometimes our minds are dazzled by this material world. Or we could say, our minds are always dazzled by this material world. That is more accurate. We are thinking that we can enjoy this material world. This is our illusion. Because, as confirmed by Krishna, a Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punarvartin Arjuna, from the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place. There is no happiness in this material world. But yet we are thinking that we can squeeze some happiness out of this place. Our nature is we are seeking happiness. That is the nature of the living being. He wants happiness. That is not denial. That is our very nature, to want happiness, to want enjoyment. So that is not wrong. But we simply have to know how to get that happiness. We have to know how to get that actual enjoyment. This requires proper training. Anything from the manufacturer, you want to get the proper direction, just like I have this MP3 recorder here, Eddie Rowe MP3 recorder. So I had to, when I obtained this recorder for recording my lectures, I had to carefully study the owner's manual, you see, given by the manufacturer. If I had simply speculated, well, I think it works this way, I think it works that way, I would not be able to record these lectures properly, you see. So, this human life, it also comes with owner's manual. That is called the Vedic wisdom. So, if we take advantage of this owner's manual given to us by the manufacturer, Lord Sri Krishna, then we can get the proper utilization of this human life. Otherwise, if we simply speculate, well, I think this, I think that, I think it's all coming out of molecular soup, like the scientists are saying. You see, by a random combination of material elements, this vast creation has come from. Where do the material elements come from? How they can explain that? They have no explanation. Where the material elements come from? But Krishna explains, Bhumir Aponalo Vayu Kang Mano Buddhare Vacha Ahankara Yati Yame Vina Prakritamashtadha. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, all together these eight constitute my separated material energy. So, from Krishna we learn everything. It is not difficult for Krishna to give knowledge because he is indeed the manufacturer. That person has created the thing, he knows. Just like you know, you may know, there was one Bengali playwright. I just now forget his name. I think it was Chatterjee, but I don't remember. Anyway, this Bengali playwright, he wrote one drama called Shah Jahan. But the entire drama was not about Shah Jahan. It was about his son, Aurangzeb. You may know the son of that Aurangzeb. We devotees, we don't like that Aurangzeb. He's the one who smashed the Vrindavan temples. He was a horrible tyrant, Muslim tyrant, you see. Not only was he cruel to the Vaishnavas, he was cruel to his own family members. He put his own father in prison to take power, you see. He murdered his brothers and put his own father in the Agra prison, you see. Such a rascal. Aurangzeb. So the whole drama was about this rascal tyrant, Aurangzeb. But it was named Shah Jahan. So one gentleman who knew the playwright, he was bewildered. Why is he called it Shah Jahan when it's all about Aurangzeb's tyranny? So he approached the Pelin. He said, "Why have you named it Shah Jahan? It's not, he's not even mentioned. The whole play is about his son. Why have you named it Shah Jahan?" So the playwright explained that actually he is the real hero of this Dhamma because he is hearing all these atrocities being carried out by Aurangzeb, and it is beating on his heart. It is tearing his heart to pieces to hear the horrible atrocities being committed by his son. So therefore he is the real hero of this Dhamma. So I have named it Shah Jahan. So how would you know that? Could anybody guess why it was named Shah Jahan? It would not be possible to figure out why he named it Shah Jahan. But if you go to the author himself who has made the drama, then you can understand immediately, oh yes, that makes sense. So these scientists, they are speculating, trying to figure out what is the purpose of existence. What is the cause of creation, etc., etc., etc. And they can go on speculating for millions and millions of years, and they will never understand. They will never understand. Not possible. That is called Aroha Panta, you see. The ascending process of discovering the truth by your own mental speculation. In Texas, they have a saying that you cannot lift yourself up by your own bootstraps. These cowboy boots that they wear in Texas, they're very difficult to put on. So they have some straps inside the boot, and then you have little strap holders also. You take these little things and you can get it on your foot. So it's a bootstrap to help you get the things on. I don't know why they're so attached to these cowboy boots, but they are in Texas. So they say you can't lift yourself up by your own bootstraps because you can't pick yourself up, you see. So in the same way, we cannot pick ourselves up by our own philosophical bootstraps. By mental speculation, you cannot elevate yourself. That's the point. Just like you cannot pick up by your own cowboy boots, straps, you cannot pick up by your own mental speculation. The actual method is called avaroha panta. Descending knowledge, you see. When that knowledge comes to you from a higher authority, then you can be elevated. If somebody else picks up on your bootstraps, some strong person, he can lift you up by your bootstraps. But you cannot pick by yourself. So if some higher authority, such as Veda Vyas or Srila Prabhupada, gives us this wisdom, you see, coming down from Krishna, then we can become elevated. So this Bhagavatam, it is so important literature because it is giving us the facility to actually understand who we are, where we have come from, what is our purpose of existence, how we can achieve perfection. Everything is explained. The Bhagavad Gita is introductory study, and the Bhagavatam is the advanced study. And then further advanced study, that is called Chaitanya Charitamrita. So if we will take this science very, very seriously, you see, understand that there is nothing more important, you see, than studying Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's nothing more important. How much time should we study? You know what Prabhupada said? He said you should always be engaged in studies. You may say, but I have so much service. I have to cook for the restaurant. I have to go on the altar. How? I have a job. I have a team. You know, how can I always be studying? How is that possible? How can I obey Prabhupada's order to always be studying? Well, Prabhupada also gave the order to always be engaged in service. So how you can do both things? How is it possible you can be doing service and studying 24/7? Is it impossible? No. It's actually quite practical. Here's how you do it. Just like in a chemistry course, you hear in the lecture, H2O equals water. And then you go to the laboratory and you actually do that. You combine two parts hydrogen, you see, with one part oxygen, and you get water. I remember when I did that, I was a high school kid. I was really impressed. Wow, it really works. The teacher said H2O equals water. We went in the lecture and we went to the lab and we did it. I got water in my test tube. Wow, this is really good. So, when we are doing service, we are in the laboratory. That's all. And when you're studying, sitting, reading, or hearing lecture, you see, listening to tapes, listening to MP3 recordings, etc., that is the lecture. So all of it is part of the study. Because when you're actually offering an arti, when you're actually cutting vegetables or cooking for the restaurant, or you're out preaching, or you're doing deity worship, or you're raising your children in Krishna consciousness, whatever you're doing, you see, you're earning your job, then you're putting into practice what you have heard in the lecture. Yat kadoshi yat asnasi yat jahosi dadasi yat yat tapashashi konteya tat kudushva madarpanam. You're actually putting the knowledge to practice, and you can study by observing what happens to your consciousness when you do this, and what happens to the consciousness of others when you apply this wisdom. You can study what the result is. Just like I studied my test tube. I went, look, wow, there's really water in there. I studied my test tube. You see. So you can study. Well, I'm trying to serve the deities with love. I'm trying to be very faithful to Srila Prabhupada by coming, getting up for Mangal Arti, attending the Tulsi Puja. I'm trying to serve Prabhupada very faithfully, without deviation. And then you can study what is the result of obeying the order of the spiritual master. And you will see that it is simply wonderful. Actually, it is simply a wonderful thing. There is no greater happiness. There is no greater satisfaction than serving the order of the spiritual master. Because that is how we please Krishna. We cannot be Krishna conscious outside of pleasing our spiritual master. So we have to know what pleases him. One of the Mataji yesterday, after the Sunday lecture, she says, I want to please my Guru Maharaj. Tell me, how can I please my Guru Maharaj? Very simple answer. Prabhupada explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita purport that one should always meditate on the order received from one Guru. And then he goes it a step further. He says, you should worship it. Just visualize, you know, your spiritual master writes you a letter, gives you some orders. You post it on the wall, and every day you offer arti to that letter. That's the mood. Not that you literally should do that. Of course you could. It wouldn't be wrong to do that. But that's not the normal thing. But the idea is within your heart you should worship that order. Prabhupada did that, you see. That's what made him great. He received the order of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur to spread Krishna consciousness movement to the English-speaking world. When he got that order, he thought, how is this possible? How is it possible? He couldn't imagine even how to begin doing such a thing. But he said, but this is the order I received from my spiritual master, and somehow I must do it. And because he took that order as his very, very life and soul, Krishna arranged everything for Prabhupada. He could carry it out. So even if you have an order from your spiritual master that seems impossible to carry it out, still you must make the endeavor. You must endeavor to do that. Do you know that Brahmin in South India, Rangachakra temple, he got that order from his spiritual master that seemed impossible? You know about that Brahmin? Prabhupada told us the story in Los Angeles. You know about that Brahmin who got the seemingly impossible order? So I'll tell you the story. As Brahman, he couldn't read. He was illiterate. Couldn't read a word. I mean, he's really totally illiterate. So his spiritual master said, every day you must read 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. What can he do? He's illiterate. But faithfully serving his spiritual master, he would sit there in the temple, Rangachatra, and he would sit there with the Bhagavad Gita. Of course, they didn't have the printing press. You'd have to, it'd be hand-copied, you see. That's how they did it in the old days. It was a hand-copied Bhagavad Gita, and he would sit there, and he would look at it. There was also an illustration of Krishna acting as the charioteer of Arjuna. They had put an illustration with it, too. So anyway, he was sit there and even look at it, and everybody would laugh and say, just see, he's illiterate. And he's reading the Bhagavad Gita. Everybody was joking about the illiterate Brahman who was reading Bhagavad Gita every day. So you may know that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he toured South India, you see. So he came to that temple and he heard all this talk going on about the illiterate Brahman. Everyone was joking. And he thought, let's see what is this illiterate Brahman who reads Bhagavad Gita. So Lord Chaitanya approached him. Everybody else was making fun of him and he was kind of defensive, you know, because he has an order from his spiritual master. Who are they to make fun of him for trying to serve his spiritual master? So he was kind of like, you know, distancing himself from all this joking that was going on about him. Just holding on to his spiritual master's lotus feet within his heart and trying to serve the order. Even though everybody was making fun of him for doing it, he didn't care. He just wanted to please his spiritual master, that's all. But when Lord Chaitanya approached him, he knew this one is different. He's not come in the mood to criticize me. He can immediately sense, he could see the beautiful effulgence of Lord Chaitanya, the beautiful demeanor of Lord Chaitanya, a great saintly. He could see this great personality has come. He hasn't come to criticize. So Lord Chaitanya asked him. He said, Brahmana, you're illiterate and you're reading Bhagavad Gita. And he said, yes, what can I do? My spiritual master has ordered me and every day I must read these 18 chapters. So then Lord Chaitanya said, Brahman, I see that you are not reading only. I see you are crying also. Why are you crying, Brahmana? He said, what can I do when I see this cover, this illustration here they have put with the book? I'm seeing how Krishna, he is so kind that he is acting as charioteer for his devotee Arjuna. And when I think how kind is Krishna upon his devotee, then I cry. So Lord Chaitanya then gave him a big hug. He said, you are the true scholar of Bhagavad Gita, you see. So even if we have an order, it seems impossible, you see. It's like Prabhupada gave an order to his disciples. You know the order he gave his disciples in Los Angeles? He said, now you become guru and you deliver the world. Could you imagine? Deliver the world. I mean, it's hard to make even one devotee. And Prabhupada's saying we should make everybody a devotee on the whole planet. It seems impossible. It seems absolutely impossible. Just like reading a Bhagavad Gita when you're illiterate. But you just have to try, that's all. You've got to make the sincere effort to carry out the order of the spiritual master. And then Lord Chaitanya will bestow his mercy that you are the true devotee. You see. Even if your spiritual master gave you an order which seems impossible to carry out in the present situation, do you have any orders like that that seem impossible to carry out? From Gurudev, you see. It seems, how can I possibly carry out this order? No one wants to cooperate. You see what I'm saying? So even if we have such a situation, still we should meditate. I must try. Somehow I must do this. I must do this. Even though it seems impossible. And then Lord Chaitanya will bestow his mercy. Your spiritual master will bestow the mercy, you see. Because this devotee is very serious to serve my order. And just as Prabhupada was successful, in due course of time we will also be successful. Anyone who embraces tightly as their very life and soul the order received from their spiritual master, they are sure and certain to be successful in due course of time. It may take some time. You see, they may be tested in many, many ways. You may say, well, why does Krishna want to test a sincere devotee who's already proven his sincerity? Why was Prabhupada put through so many ordeals? Prabhupada was put through so many ordeals. Do you know that? Did Gurudev tell you when that the time when Prabhupada called him from Europe? Did he tell you about that time? Prabhupada's position in ISKCON is being minimized. He understood it was poison that came in from his godbrothers. And the same thing is happening now. It was happening then. The Gaudiya Math people are trying to inject poison into ISKCON to minimize Srila Prabhupada. The same thing's going on now that was happening then, back in 1969 or 70. So Prabhupada is very disturbed that he could see there was a subtle poison of minimizing his position as the founder of Acharya. And there was no GBC then. That's when he formed a GBC body. He called Gurudev from Europe, and he called different devotees from different places. And Prabhupada was so disturbed. Actually, nobody told Gurudev. He said, get me out of here. That's what he told him. He said, get me out of here. He was so disturbed by the mood that was going on at that time in ISKCON. So Gurudev said, well, I can take you to Florida. Prabhupada said, it's not far enough. Prabhupada was so disturbed. So actually at that time, that's when Prabhupada went to India. And when he was leaving, he prayed to Rukmini Dwarkadish, I don't know why you're sending me away. He felt that Rukmini Dwarkadish was sending him away. Kicking him out, you see. He couldn't understand. What is going on? I started this movement, and now I feel like I'm being thrown away from it. Prabhupada couldn't understand what was going on. But then he went to India, and these huge projects came up. You see, Mayapur, Bombay, Vrindavan. And then he understood it was all the arrangement of Krishna, that the movement could expand in India, you see. So sometimes we cannot understand what's going on. You see, it seems we're bewildered by what's going on. You see, but if we keep that faith in the order of our spiritual master and keep trying to serve that order, even though we can't understand what in the world is going on here, if we don't give up that faith in the order of our spiritual master and we remain determined and fixed in carrying out that order, then we'll be amazed by what happens. We'll be amazed. Krishna arranged, orchestrated this whole thing just so the movement could expand in amazing ways, just so my own Krishna consciousness can expand in amazing, amazing ways. So in this way, we have to have that staunch determination. Vridavrata, you see. That whatever order I have received from my spiritual master, personally or the general orders he has given to all of his disciples, they're the same thing. Well, he didn't personally tell me to do it. No, every order given by the spiritual master is a personal order to each and every disciple. His general instructions he gives, they're personal orders for each and every disciple. So in this way, we have to understand how to please our spiritual master, how to please Krishna, and how to achieve the perfection of this human form of life. All right, we'll stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.